Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
When I was quiet before the Lord, my wife knows when I need to be alone. She sees me. That I'm having that one-on-one with God, and she turns everything off. She goes into the bedroom, and she leaves me alone. She even takes the little dog with her. Because I'm having that intimacy with God, and I'm trying to hear His voice. And I heard the Lord saying to me, all the things that you've been preaching and teaching, all the things that you've been sharing throughout the course of your saved life, from the age of 30 to our current day, do you still have the faith to believe? When new things arise, you know, two members of our church are going through some radical times with their children, grown children. And they're radical. And there are things that happen in our life that sometimes are so radical, we say, God, where are you in this? Where are you, God? And we're going to see in Scripture that He's always there with us. Despite of what's taking place in the culture, in the world, and in your own life. Because I've come to an understanding that He's the God of all grace, mercy, and love.
That's right.
Can I get amen? And so I'm going to situate our screen for, we want to welcome Facebook and YouTube that's tuned in right now. And we're going to go here. And if you have your cell phones or whatever, put them on the silent. And I'm going to ask those that are here right now inside with us is that we could do a minimum of coming in and out now. This is where we need to just be before the Lord. Amen? And we got to hear what God has to say. So if you could keep the minimum, I get it if you have to get up and go. But God said to share it with the saints that when the Word of God is being spoken now, that we would have already done our bathroom runs and everything else. Amen? So nothing matters now but the Word of God. This is going to be our focal point, God's Word. Because that's what ministers to us. That's what strengthens us. How many believe that? See, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said this, and He said it best. He says, I put my word above my name. What? Yes, God puts His word above His name. Because the Bible says the word of God is forever settled in heaven. And so this is what takes priority. But here's the thing. What do we need with the word? We need the Spirit and the word. Can I get amen? I can give you a Bible study and you go home. Yeah, I go back to my friend, Brother Leroy Brown, who's in glory right now. I said, so how was it, brother? He goes, I don't know, but it was good. I don't know, but it was good. So, the Word of God is high and lifted up. And Jesus said, I put the word of God above my name. Why? Because that's all that's going to remain when it's all said and done, is what He said. Praise God. And so, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless You, we praise You, we exalt You, we magnify You. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Having the Faith to Believe. That's right, God spoke to me this week. Do you still believe that I'm the God that has done, that can do, and that will do? In other words, Jesus is saying, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. I change not. God changes not. Your circumstances changes all the time. Who would have thought these atrocious things that would happen to your kids? Who would have thought that? But do you believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for? This is why we need to go to the Word, right? The Word is what strengthens us. The Word is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. The spoken Word of God. And when you add the rhema on top of it, hey, then it becomes alive unto thee. Can I get an amen? You need the rhema on top of the Word. See, the logos is one thing. But putting the rhema on the Word together, hallelujah, then God does the miraculous. God gives you illumination. God opens your heart. God lets you see things you've never seen before. Hallelujah. How many love that? You got to put the rhema. It's going to be a now word. Yeah, God's Word is already settled. But when you put the anointing and the rhema on it, look out. It becomes alive. It becomes alive. Praise God. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're gonna be in this study for a little bit, but I'm hoping that God will give you illumination. And then I don't want us to leave this place without getting any kind of prayer. Can I get amen? I need hands laid on the saints. You need to know that you were in the presence of God. You need to know that God touched you today. Can I get amen? Amen. We don't serve a dead religion here. God's not dead. I hope you know that. We've seen the movie already. God's not dead, right? He's alive and well. Let's go to the Word. Praise God. In verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4, and he himself gave some to apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. This is the fivefold ministry, which is alive and well right now. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. That's right. What is it for? So we can just jump around and clap our hands? It's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith. And this is what Sister Leah shared with us earlier in prayer, that churches need to come together now in the unity of the faith. Can I get amen? Amen. That we would truly be one body in one accord. Amen. Praise God. Till we come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants you to walk in the fullness. Can I get amen? Amen? He doesn't want your cup to be half. He wants it to be full and overflowing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at verse 14 right up here. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and be carried about with every wind of doctrine. There are so many doctrines out there. You got to be careful. Can I get amen? Amen. Some of them are not even God. Man, look at this. By the trickery of men. Why? Because man's tricky. You know, there's a whole lot of Jacobs around. Connivers. Hidden agendas. How can I get my hand in your pocket? Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. The trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Wow. But speaking what? Say that with me. But speaking truth in love. That's what we need. Speaking truth in love. That we may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. Praise God. So look at this right up here. When a child is born, we naturally expect him to grow. Can I get an amen? We got little babies in here right now. There's one right there right now. We don't expect this child to be like that 7 months from now. 7 months from now, you're probably learning how to catch him. If he should walk at 7 months. And some do walk at 7 months. Praise God. But look at this. We naturally expect him to grow. And if he doesn't, there's a major problem. Houston, we got a problem. And so this same principle, saints of God, applies to us as believers as well. Salvation is the beginning of our relationship with Christ. But God doesn't want us to stay immature. Can I get amen? We got to know when things happen. We need to know where our health, our help cometh from. I look into the hills where my health cometh, the Bible says. And God comes to the rescue. Oh, yes, he does. After being born again of the Spirit of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, saints of God, we should continually grow in the grace and the knowledge in him. How many can say that I've grown a little bit more since last year? Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. And God wants you still to grow. Because guess what? None of us have arrived. Not even me. Can I get an amen? None of us have arrived. Look at 2 Peter 3:18 says right up here. But grow, say that with me. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So saints, I want you to hear this. By reading our word, praying, observing how the Lord works, we will increase in Christ's likeness. How many want to be like Christ? Okay, well, we will grow in Christ's likeness, and also we learn how to be obedient. But the Lord uses a surprising means to bring us to maturity. He does. What can you think of right now that he will use to bring you closer to him, fill your mind and soul with more knowledge of him, and learn of what has taken place? What is the word that comes to mind? Well, study's one. Okay, let me paint a little picture here. Let's just say there's a football team, and the starting quarterback just broke his leg. Now they're turning to the second stringer, and he's nervous. And then he's failing, and so then they bring in the third stringer. What just happened to them? What do they have to go through now? What's it called? It's right up here. Adversity. Adversity. How do you handle adversity when it comes knocking at your door? Hello? Adversity helps us. Hallelujah. Learn from it. Grow from it. Adversity is the universal experience of all mankind. And it could either do one of several things. It could hinder or accelerate our spiritual growth. Can I get an amen? Oh, man, God just showed me something. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. How many believe we serve a mighty God?
Amen.
And saints of God, that adversity may be physical, it may be emotional in nature, and it can either be long or short. And some of us are saying, I need to get past this now. Huh? But one thing adversity always causes. What could come to mind right now? I'll give you a quick second. What comes to mind that adversity causes? It causes pain. It causes pain. Sometimes it's emotional, spiritual. Sometimes it even becomes physical because your heart is so broken. When you come to a place of total brokenness, it will cause physical pain. Oh, yes, it will. And although none of us want hurt or trouble, we want a stress-free life. Don't we want to want this kind of life? Yeah. No, I don't want that. Lock the door. I don't want that coming in. If it comes, we have several options. We have several options, and we have to look at how do we maneuver? How do we walk in it? How do we go through it? How do we understand God's will for it? How do I understand my own self when it doesn't want to obey? Help me, God, get through tough times in my life. Some of you have wonderful testimonies. God has seen me through. Praise God. That's right. And guess what? Right after you came right through that one, here comes another one. Peek-a-boo, here I am. Until we are with him and change forevermore, adversity will always show itself at the door and it will keep knocking. Can I get amen? And so we can waste our sorrows or grow in our relationship with the Lord. Spiritual growth in adversity depends on two factors right up here. Let's go back up here to the screen up here and let's look at this. Number one, our understanding of God's purpose for it. You got to ask yourself, God, what's in it, in this horrendous thing? When my child got shot or my child got mauled, and the list goes on with many others. How can I understand this, God? And then number two, what's our response to adversity? Do we get mad?
Do we get mad at God?
Oh, you saw it coming. You could have prevented it, God. Some of us get mad at God. They do. And then they start having a pity party. And they walk in a place and you can see their countenance doesn't have any joy in it. Because they're blaming this, they're blaming this. There's not enough here, there's not enough there. And so, we need to understand. We're going to go through that first one. Understanding God's purpose for it. See, once you get knowledge of why he allows you, then now he says, this is how we fix it together. See, if God did everything for us, we'd be spoiled brats. Can I get an amen? We'll never grow. He wants a what? Come alongside you and we're going to walk this thing together. Can I get an amen? He wants to partner up with you and see you through it. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to look at this, our understanding of God's purpose. And one of the things he does best in adversity, he does this. He gets our attention. Oh, hallelujah. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I just got laid off. I don't know where to go. My unemployment's running out. Oh, God. My kids has left and ran away. I know who they're hanging with. It's not looking good. When life is running smoothly, it's easy to ignore the Lord. Oh, everything's good. How's everything going? Good. Okay. But in adversity, saints of God, he suddenly has our undivided attention. Praise God, doesn't he? He does. But see, this is where we can take comfort in Jesus. Say that with me. Take comfort in Jesus. Because he's the God of all comfort. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. I love what he shared with his disciples, and Matthew wrote it down. Look at this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest for your soul. Look at this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So once you have to understand that he's calling you during these times to get close to the Father. Can I get amen? But we have to check some things at the door. Before I come in to the church house like this, I have to check myself at the door. I got to put any pride, I got to put anything that's not like him and check it at the door, so that when I come in here, I'm doing all that I can to glorify him. Can I get amen? Amen. And so it starts with humility. How many believe that? It starts with humility. Yeah. Or do we just walk into any place? Man, ain't nothing to, I got this. Yeah. First Peter said it best. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God will exalt you from where you're at right there. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. And so one of the things that sometimes what adversity does, amen, God knows how to do it best. Can I get an amen? This is what he does. To conquer our pride. Pride will get in the way of anything God wants to do in you and through you. You got to get self out of the way. You got to get self out of the way. Oh God, purify my heart, God. King Solomon said it best. He said it like this. Pride, look at this. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Be careful when you give someone a dirty look. You walk right by them. Take heed lest you fall. What? It's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And so look at this. When adversity comes, let not God find these things attached to you. Because, you know, we look at things in the culture, and we look at the big giant sins, but God is dealing right now with our heart, because our heart sometimes has greater sin than what we see in the world. Can I get amen? And so to conquer this pride, we need to look once again. What is it that displeases him, so that when we do come to him and adversity comes, that we won't have these things attached to us? And it's right up here. Look at this. These six things the Lord hates. What? The Lord hates? Yes, the Lord hates. You got to get out of your picture. You know, oh, he's a God of love, and he's love. Oh, yeah? Tell that to the moneymakers that God chased out from the temple with a cord, and he whooped them, and he turned over the tables. Oh, come on. That's what I love about Jesus. He's a real man. But this is what God hates. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. Back in the day, we grew up, I don't know where you grew up. I grew up in Nasty City. Oh, yeah, come on. Oh, you don't know where that place is, huh? Thank God you don't know where that place is. Huh? Oh, yeah. Man, I'm telling you, as soon as we went to a party, we were looking to mad dog anybody. That proud look would start a fight. Every time. Proud look. My goodness. Let's go back to the word. A proud look. a lying tongue. Oh, I'm stepping on my own toes. There's no fibbers in here, are there? Oh, look at this. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, and a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Let me tell you about this last one. We may not be shedding any blood because God has delivered us from our past. But one of the things that happens in church, what? Really? And that person's not even there to defend themselves. And so now when that person walks in, everyone looks at the door like this. Sowing discord. You know what sowing discord is? It's the works of the devil. If you can't say anything good about someone, say nothing. And if someone comes up to you and says, you know, so-and-so is, said, you know, so-and-so, you know what? Stop them in their track and say, hey, let's just pray. Let's pray for our heart right now. Because we felt contention right now for that person. Let's pray that our hearts are right. And then let's pray, say, God, strengthen that person. And then I don't want to know the specifics. Because you'll try to side me with you. Everyone wants to be, yeah, I want you to be on my team. Lord, help us. Saints, if we're doing well, we might be tempted to look down on those who are struggling. But adversity humbles us. Can I get amen? Thank God for adversity. It humbles us. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul was given awesome privileges and insight. But along with him came a thorn in his flesh. Why did God put a thorn in his flesh? He allowed the devil to place it there. What? God didn't put a thorn in his flesh. God allowed the devil to put a thorn in his side. Can I just say that? I'm going to say this in the best way I know how. God still uses old slew foot to carry out his will. Oh, yeah, and we got that in Scripture with Job. What did Satan came to and fro, and he came up to the throne of God. He said, the only reason why you blessed Job is because you hedged him in. He goes, remove the hedge and let me touch him, and I'll get him to curse you in your face. God said, okay, but just don't take his life. That's the conversations that God has with Slewfoot. And just imagine when God is allowing us to be tested. Ho! Just imagine the conversation he had with old Slewfoot for you. We're not in heaven yet. We still live in this fallen world. Where do you see that at? Where do you see that at, preacher? I see it right up here. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure, when God's using you, stay humble. Can I get an amen? Because it's not about you. It's all about Jesus. And look at this. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. God allowed old Slewfoot and his dominions to come. Go ahead. Just like he did with Job. Just like God's allowing things to happen in our life no differently. Can I get amen? God's looking to see how are you going to handle your situation. You know why? Because I have greater things for you to do, but I can't you to be stuck and ugly. I don't want you to be stuck in that. I want you to learn from that so that I can exalt you and take you higher with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Lest I be exalted above measure. In other words, I'm it. Can't touch this. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And look what God had. I love it. How many love the Lord? And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so the things that have happened to us, allow God to strengthen us in due time. And say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, God. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. He said, I'd rather boast in my ailments and my adversity than, oh, look now, man. Look where I'm taking you in the word now. Look at this. Yeah, this is it. This is the wow moment. Look at this. No, he's saying, man, I'm going to praise you in my sickness. I'm going to praise you through my adversity. I'm going to praise you, hallelujah, when my kids leave me. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise you when someone walks out in my life. I'm still going to worship and praise you. That's what God wants from our life. Accolades will come. Pats on the backs will come and go. But I'd rather praise him when it hurts. I'd rather praise him when I have nothing left but to do that. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses. For what? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to be strong in the Lord? Learn how to deal with your weakness. Learn what you're going through. We're all in the school of knocks. Can I get amen? There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. The way he uses people that come and go in this place and other wonderful venues, God will use you no differently. Can I get amen? And so that adversity, those things that we've gone through, it allows humbling pain because he knows that pride prevents us from being used by him. Stay humble before him. And what it also does, it does this. Let me go there. To remind us of our weakness. Sometimes we need to be reminded we're not all about that. Can I get an amen? When you feel you have arrived, guess what? All you did was get out of the car, and now you're standing on the corner. You haven't arrived nowhere. A sense of personal strength and adequacy keeps us self-sufficient. Meaning, I got this. God, I got this one. I got this one. You're too busy with the world. I got this one. Really? But the Lord knows how to weaken us with affliction, so we'll turn to him for direction and strength. Can I get an amen? Amen. I know we don't want to hear that one. But just as I wrote it down, we'll read it again. Therefore, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Praise God. Also, adversity does this. Sometimes it goes like this. It goes over our head. But it does this to increase our hatred of sin. In other words, when are you going to give that to me? God comes to us sometimes at night, sometimes in a quiet moment. Sometimes he'll wake us up at 4 a.m. He'll have that one-on-one with us. And he'll say, when are you going to give that to me? Nobody may not know that that's what you do, but I do. We got to learn to hate those things that bring displeasure to him. If you want to be used in the fullness of God, it's not about works. Throw the works out. Because we cannot do anything in works, especially in the flesh. What we have to do is yield so that he will purify us. He will purify us if we give it to him. You guys all know my testimony. I was tired of living that drug life. I didn't know where to turn to no more. I went through 3 rehabs. I did all this. I couldn't shake it on my own. But God came and took it. And he did the great exchange. He took my wretchedness. He took that heart of flesh, of blackness. And he did the great exchange. And now I'm giving you a heart of stone. And I'm going to engrave my word on it. Bible says he has ingrained his word on our hearts. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. That forever we would love him and honor him. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the suffering that comes with disobedience reminds us of the awful impact of sin. It does. God sometimes disciplines us with adversity so that we will learn to hate the sin. You know, I said it like this, and I said it in a facetious way. I said, you know, just because you smoke cigarettes, I get that. You drink and you do all that. Okay, I get that. But if you know that you're the temple of God, okay, I put it like this. You'll just get to heaven faster than we. You didn't catch that one, did you? Keep on smoking. And then that cancer comes. And why aren't you delivering me, God? I told you to get rid of that 30 years ago. We're the temple. And if you learn to know that we are the temple, you'll know what. Listen, I don't care to know. What your pet peeve is, because I don't want you to know mine. Because guess what? If we put everyone's sin on the screen up here, I'd be the first one beating you to the door. I'd be running out of here. No one wants to be exposed. Can I get an amen? So God, this is what I love about God. He deals with us individually. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But if there is an issue, you have to go to God's word. Don't just listen to the preacher. You know, everything I say up here, you better line it up and see where does it say that in the word. You got to put me to the litmus test. Can I get amen? So look what the word of God says here. But your iniquities has separated you from your God. And you have sins hidden his face. Look at this. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. So if you got these private sins that no one sees and you think everything is okay, guess what? He doesn't hear you no more. And we deceive ourselves. We're walking down under false anointing. And that's not the real anointing. Help me, somebody. Help me preach this message, somebody. Hallelujah. God said in his word, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, say that with me, who does the will of God abides forever. How many want you to abide forever with God? Then do the will of God. And adversity comes to do another thing, to demonstrate his faithfulness to us. How many believe that God's faithful?
Oh, amen.
How many of you have been faithless at times? Oh, come on. Oh, come on. All right, I got some word for that. This is the faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will what? Oh, what? He will what? And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Aren't you so blessed? God cannot. You know, God doesn't owe us one apology when he allows us to go through adversity. But you know what it does? When you start understanding and you start pouring in the mind of Christ through his word and by the rhema and the power of God, man, he starts to do something that you cannot do on your own. He starts to equip you. Oh, that's right. To equip us to comfort others. See, the school of hard knocks, what we go through, is so that we will learn how to address that issue. And once God's seen that we have addressed that issue, guess what? Now we could come alongside that's going through. I need to bless him. I need to bless her. I understand. You know, sometimes it's very difficult for pastors that go to seminaries, and they don't even know the people. They get hired. Our neighbor next door, hired. They didn't grow in the congregation. God didn't raise up someone to take the baton from the former pastor to keep going with the ministry. No, they are hired hirelings. You know what that means? We're just going to hire someone. But guess what? When the wolf comes, those hired hirelings will scatter and run. They will not learn how to lay down their life for the sheep. They don't even know what they're going through. And they've never been there. This is why you, us, who have gone through some things in life, oh, guess what? God wants to use you mightily. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. God wants to use you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to use you mightily. And tell the other person on the other side. So let me just say this. The next time you're going through a serious trial and an affliction and adversity comes, I need you to catch this. I need you to go into your heart of hearts and say this. Okay, God, who am I going to bless next?
Amen.
Are you catching that? Who am I going to bless next? Okay, God, you allowed this? Let me learn from it. Let me go through this. Let me process this with you. Let me walk with you in this. Let me go through it. Oh, God. Amen. And then God is going to bring someone to mind because that person is about ready to go through it. And where do you find that, preacher? I find it in God's word. See, God's word is already forever settled in heaven. So no matter what we go through, God already has seen it. Jesus experienced it already on the cross. He took all our infirmities. He took all of our iniquities. He took our stripes that we deserved. And so God does something good for us when we go through this. Look at this in the Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our what? Tribulation. Amen. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. You catch that? He's using your circumstance to bless someone else. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Look at this. Look at this in verse 6. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation. In other words, it was good for you. What do you mean, God? I almost lost my child. It was good for you. It was good for you. What do you mean, God? That person just tore my whole family up. It was good for you. It was good for you. Look at this. And with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God, God's consolation abounds through us. Now, verse 6. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for our consolation, salvation, which is effective for enduring, enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. So Paul said, as I suffer, you will suffer too. But guess what? We're all suffering together. Can I get an amen? Never look at someone, oh man, be a Job, be one of three of Job's friends. What did you do? You must have done this. You must have said that. Be careful. For that same affliction will jump on you faster than you can blink. You go and comfort them and pray for them. God, when's the last time you cried with someone that was going through? Cried with them. We there's a song that this worship team plays every now and then. Something has to break. We sing that song. But there's labor involved in that. There's labor in saying, oh God, let me come alongside you and cry with, I want to cry with you. You're going through pain. When's the last time you came and prayed with someone and cried with them? I said, God, it's going to be all right. God's going to make all things beautiful in his time.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. In verse 7, our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Meaning the glory of God will fall on you. How many can't wait for the glory of God to fall on you? Thank you, God. You see, my friends, having gone through pain, we are better able to sympathize with those who are going through a similar situation. And guess what that does? Guess what that does? It does this. It prepares us for service. How many of you want to be prepared for service? Okay? You're going to go through some things, right? You're going to go through some things. Oh, that's right. Experiencing hardship and suffering equips us to serve the Lord in various ways, and it meets the needs of others. And look what Timothy said. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. God's called each and every one of us to his ministry. So with the afflictions, keep going. Don't let it hinder you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Nevertheless, oh God. And so these afflictions come. These adversities come. And guess what? It's to do this. To express his love for us. Some of you are not convinced that God loves you. I'm sorry, he does. He loves. He loves each and every one of us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He loves us. Hallelujah. And the affliction, the adversity, it comes to us. And guess what it does? Guess what it does? Right here. To change our direction. You know what that direction is? Instead of going, whoa, it's me. Ooh, woe is me. No, no. He says, change direction. You start praising him. God, I give you praise and glory. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Though it hurts, oh God. Though I go through, oh God. Oh God, though these things happen, oh God, I will bless you. I will praise you. I will exalt you. I will magnify you. I'll give you, hallelujah, all my praise and adoration to you. Why? Because there's nothing too hard that you cannot do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The circumstances that you're going through, he will make it beautiful in his time. Can I get amen? That's right. Oh, that's right. Because we need to be always praying. Can I get amen? We need to have God change that direction. God uses adversity to stop us from going astray and to redirect our path into his will. Oh, that's right. Look at this. And we're coming in for a close. We're coming in for a close. Look at this. Look what I found in Luke. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, Jesus, as he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into what? Why? Because old Slewfoot wants to trip you up. Look at verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. It was like from here to there. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Listen, he knew he had to go to the cross. He knew that he would have to be on the cross naked. You know, we look at the Passion of the Christ. We've seen the King of Kings. We've seen all the movies of Jesus, right? And he always had a terry cloth on, and he was up there, kind of like looked like he was beaten. Josephus, a historian, a Jewish historian who wrote many books. He was an eyewitness account of the crucifixion. He said that when we looked on him, we couldn't even tell his gender no more. He was brutally beaten. His flesh was ripped apart. Not a bone was broken, but his flesh. And he bore that before us. And he knew what he had to endure. Just imagine if God gave you a dream and he showed you how you were going to die hideously. Wouldn't that frighten you? Well, he knew. He was God in the flesh. And look what it says. And he was withdrawn from a stone's throw away. And he knelt down and saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. In other words, there's got to be another way. Remember, he had a body of flesh like us. So he feared things too. He had anxiety too. Look at this. But then he came to an understanding. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Can you say that when you're going through? Can you come to an understanding, oh God, you're going to make those things beautiful. So as we close, what's your response? What's your response? What's yours? What's yours? What's my response? When that adversity comes, we go to the Word. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. God wants to guide us through it. He wants to hold our hand and take us through. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And see it, that it's coming from God. Because God doesn't, listen, nothing takes God by surprise. Oh my gosh, I didn't see that. God's seen everything. He's seen the moment we opened up the first time our eyes, and he's seen already when we will close them. And our life is over here. He's already seen that. We're just going through real time right now. He's already seen that time. Hallelujah. And we know all things. Say that with me. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his will and purpose. So Surrender. Surrender to God our will. Can I get amen? Amen. Ask the Lord to reveal his goal for the adversity. What am I going to learn from this, God? And guess what? He will show you. Amen. Surrender to God's will. Rest by trusting in his faithfulness. This is how we handle it. Biblical truth affirmed that God's goal for our adversity is our spiritual growth. Praise God. And adversity, look at this. Adversity is the Lord's most effective way of deepening our faith and commitment to him. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I'm going to ask those, the prayer ministry, to come forth right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Standing before you, saints of God, right here, is the prayer team. These men and women, some of them fast and pray. God has equipped them and has given them gifts. You know, we open gifts during Christmas time, and as a child, I used to always want to know what's behind that gift with my name on it. I would have a whole lot of willpower and not to try to rip it open. Well, guess what? The gifts that he has for you right now are for your well-being, for your soul, for your spirit, for your circumstance, for healing, for a word of knowledge, for a word that God wants to use. How many right now can honestly say, I'm going through right now. I'm going through something right now that only God can fix. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Father, I pray right now. Pour out your spirit. Help us overcome the obstacles, the things that challenge us in life, oh God. Lord, I feel some of you came in here with pain in your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Someone in here right now also has drifted away from God, and he's calling you back to his bosom because he loves you so much. And he has never left you, nor will he forsake you. But he's saying, now, my child, come and draw near to me, and I'll come and draw near to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Jesus. As the worship team lifts up the name of Jesus right now, I want those that just come down to the altar. The saints of God are here to pray. The Bible says, cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. God wants to remove your burdens.
If you're listening
right now on the internet. And maybe you just were surfing the net. You came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And you're hearing this message right now. And you may not even know who Jesus is. I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.